Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. This is the B segment, 940B, to be specific. This is a great interview. We always have the B's are the interviews, and this one will be sensational, I promise you, because Dr. William Lee, who's the author of Eat to Beat Disease, is with us. The new science of how your body can heal itself. Dr. Lee, if you will, my partner in crime, Mehmet Oz, writes this: a groundbreaking physician shares how we can use food to hack our natural defense system and hardwire ourselves for health. Dr. Lee is an internationally renowned physician, researcher, and president and founder of the Angiogenesis Foundation. We'll talk to him about what angiogenesis is, as well as rejuvenation. I've got a couple people who, when I said I was going to interview them, wanted to know what foods to eat to help their hair, and maybe that's got something to do with angiogenesis. He's given a TED Talk, Can We Eat to Starve Cancer?, has garnered more than 11 million views with that. And let's now introduce Dr. Lee. Thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you, Dr. Roizen. It's a real pleasure to be on with you.
Now, a number of places in the book you have such great things in it, but I want to talk with, let's go back to the base of one of the things you talk about, which is how you change your microbiome with what you eat. Tell us about that and what you mean by that.
Well, I'm a physician, and when I went to medical school, I was taught to, as most physicians are, diagnose disease, write prescriptions, and really try to cure whatever we could. And most of the things that we learned in medical school were thought to be truisms, meaning it is what it is, and it's built on research. Well, the nice thing about science, and I'm also a medical researcher, is that science changes the way that we understand our reality. And one of the things that is really exciting is that as we begin understanding our bodies and our health, we realize that our health is much more than the absence of disease, but in fact, our health is in fact the result of natural defense systems that are hardwired inside our bodies that protect us from the time we're born until our very last breath. And one of those is the microbiome. In my book, Eat to Beat Disease, I write about the discovery of five health defense systems that sort of act like legs in the stool, keeping our health sturdy. And the microbiome, which is now recognized to be an important component of who we actually are, 39 trillion bacteria living in our bodies, so we're infected but not sick, actually help to control our immune system, help us heal faster, and even communicate with our brains to release social hormones so that we can have better relationships.
So let's go back to the question I pose. That is, how does the food you eat change or affect your microbiome?
Right. So this ecosystem of bacteria are incredibly important for maintaining health. When we now realize that when we have inflammation in our body, oftentimes it's our microbiome, our gut bacteria especially, misbehaving, a condition called dysbiosis. And when we take antibiotics, which is so rampant, it can completely wipe out the neighborhood of the healthy bacteria and mess up the ecosystem. So how does food activate our health defenses when it comes to the microbiome? Well, there's a couple of ways we can do this. Number one is that we can feed our bacteria health good things that they like to eat. So when we feed ourselves, we're also feeding our bacteria. So this prebiotic, primarily fibers, oftentimes in plant-based foods, is one way to actually nurture the healthy gut bacteria. And bacteria will actually digest the fiber from the food we eat, and the pieces of the digestion from the bacteria wind up actually being bioactive, meaning that they can lower inflammation and begin to signal other health-promoting functions in the body. The other way we can actually activate our microbiome is actually by eating bacteria, which, you know, in an ever more sterile world, we're realizing that we're getting further away from what our bodies want to do, which is to develop this nice balance between bacteria. So eating foods that contain healthy bacteria, which can come from fermented foods like kimchi or horseradish or yogurt, or even cheese, for example, actually can replenish some of the gut bacteria. And there's no single probiotic that's sort of the cure-all. It's about the diversity of the neighborhood. And then finally, you know, we can actually eat foods that can either help increase the effects, the beneficial effects of the bacteria, or in some cases, some foods can lower the levels of unhealthy bacteria as well.
Now, I didn't realize that horseradish, is horseradish a fermented food?
Yeah, so the way that horseradish, you know, so many people don't realize, I always used to think of horseradish as pickled food from Central Europe or from Russia or Germany. Turns out that the early explorers brought sliced and diced sealed up cabbage from China over the Silk Road. And in that long journey over the desert, bacteria got into those canisters and fermented the cabbage. And when they got to their final destination, you had this incredible, tasty, European-style fermented cabbage. And so that's horseradish. And it's filled with bacteria.
So horseradish is fermented cabbage.
Exactly. Thinly sliced fermented cabbage.
Wow. So all that cabbage that I leave in my refrigerator, cabbage seems to keep forever in your refrigerator. So all that cabbage I keep in my refrigerator forever for waiting to cook it, actually could be, I could be fermenting it. Do you put anything with it? Is there a specific bacterial culture just leaving it out? Does it, or do you have to put a specific bacterial culture with it?
So the original way that horseradish was made was really leaving it out to be exposed in the air. And somehow that cabbage naturally picks up the types of bacteria. And in fact, when they've actually studied horseradish made in different parts of the world, you see very unique types of bacteria that come from only those areas that actually get into it.
So I could actually maybe start it with a little horseradish, that I've got, and add it to the cabbage and see what happens.
You probably could. I mean, and you know, that's actually how other fermented foods like sourdough bread are also made. You take a little pinch of bacteria that actually has already been in the previous dough from the bread, and I write about this in a book how sourdough bread and pumpernickel bread actually are made with bacteria that can be very healthy. Sourdough in particular is made with a bacteria that happens to be a healthy gut bacteria called Lactobacillus reuteri. In the body, that bacteria increases our immunity, speeds up the blood vessel growth that helps to heal our wounds, and also influences our social hormones. That's actually what's that bacteria creates, that tangy flavor of sourdough. And even though the bacteria is killed during baking, researchers at MIT have actually shown that the bacteria remnants are enough to actually activate the body's defenses.
We're talking with Dr. William Lee, L-I, although it's pronounced L-E-E, Eat to Beat Disease, the new science of how your body can heal itself. Eat to Beat Disease, and it's published by Grand Central Publishing, a wonderful imprint, because they did my last, or the two books ago, Age Proof. So I like them, obviously, and I'm prejudiced towards them. So this is interesting, and although we've got a lot of interesting facts, I really want to get to some of the key components of the book. And one of it is that there are some magic foods, if you will, and some non-magic diseases that food can help with. So let me go in one of the questions I was asked as I was carrying the book around and started to read it is, someone said, what's the food for alopecia? What's the food to get my hair? He looked at the picture of Dr. Lee in the book and on the publicity, and he said, that guy's got really wonderful black hair. How does he do it? Ask him. So, Dr. Lee, how do you keep your hair black, and how do you prevent alopecia or thinning of hair? And then the third question, hate to ask three in a row, but what is angiogenesis?
Right. Well, actually, they're all interrelated. Let me first talk about what angiogenesis is. Angiogenesis is the process our body uses to grow blood vessels. And our blood vessels are this incredible myriad of tubes in our body, 60,000 miles worth of blood vessels packed inside our body that bring blood and oxygen and nutrients to every cell in our body, whether it's our liver or our brains or our heart, also our hair. So every hair follicle has one or two capillaries, really fine hair, fine blood vessels that feed that hair cell. That's one of our defense systems as well. We need that system, the angiogenesis system, defends our health to keep our tissues nourished. So blood vessels are important for hair. Another part of our defense systems is our stem cells, because when we were kids, we were taught that starfish and salamanders regenerate, but people don't. Well, the science actually has changed our views, and we know that, in fact, people do have a regenerative capacity, and it happens from the inside out using our stem cells. And it gets, and guess what? Hair follicles also have stem cells right at their the base of the follicle. It's kind of like the bulb of an onion, if you think about a hair planted inside our scalp. Is like sitting in the garden, and right where the bulb of the onion is a whole bunch of stem cells that can grow new hair. Those stem cells are responsible for the color of the hair, the texture of the hair, and the hair coming back after you know it falls out or it gets plucked out. That's what comes back as well. So, and there's a few more defense systems we can talk about, but in my book, I write about the foods that can actually support blood vessel health and can support stem cells. And something interesting to know is that our old friend of health, green tea, actually can stimulate stem cells in the bloodstream. And what's interesting is not only can green tea do it, but black tea, which most people feel doesn't have the same nutrients as green tea, black tea can also mobilize the stem cells in our blood. And these are the kinds of stem cells that circulate all around the body. And that's what I would actually use to actually try to support hair growth. Now, clinical trials
Dr. Lee, let me just make sure I understood. So you'd use green or black tea as your main thing for supporting hair growth and angiogenesis for the hair.
Right. You need all those things happening at this. Yeah. And angiogenesis, we know, is required to really support hair growth as well. So a couple of things that can help support and good blood vessels growing in your body are whole grains and even seeds like sunflower seeds or flax seeds or pumpkin seeds. Those can actually help coax good blood vessels that can help support hair growth.
And now you've got very dark black hair, at least the pictures on the publicity handout that I have, and also on the jacket of the book. Do you do anything specific with food? In other words, when I was carrying the book around yesterday, someone asked me, how does he get his hair so black?
Well, look, I think all of us have our genetic traits that help us keep our hair color. And so, you know, that's really sort of a benefit from my parents, I would say. I don't eat any particular foods to actually color my hair. But, you know, I think the key thing is there's many different kinds of defenses that can help support the health of our tissue, whether it's our hair or our heart or our brains or our eyes. And, you know, one of the things that I write about in my book is that when it comes to food and health, as a doctor, I'm as confused as everyone else. I mean, you hear about a magic food or a superfood and a super diet, and then the next week it whiplashes to the other side where it's no longer any good or the diet's harmful. And so what I did is really ask myself, is there a way of using solid science, the same serious science that we use to develop new medicines, to begin looking at the health properties of food? So we can develop the evidence of how actually food works. And here's what I discovered that I wrote about that led me to write this book, is that when it comes to food and health, it's not just about the food. In fact, it's about how your body responds to what we put inside it. And that means there's no single food that's the magic food, but a big array of foods. And I write about more than 200 of them that can activate one or more of our health defense systems in our body.
Before we go, and we've just got a short time left, we're talking, by the way, with Dr. William Lee. L-I is the spelling. Eat to Beat Disease, the New Science of How Your Body Can Heal Itself. Available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, as well as probably at your local bookseller. One of the questions you ask in talking about risk is, do you work a night shift? So as a physician, you had to work a night shift. Why does that increase your risk, and how long does it last after you've worked the night shift? And how about if it's just a couple of night shifts, you're up essentially on a plane, or how long does that last for you?
Wow. Well, so there's sort of like what we know from research versus what it happens, what I experienced myself. First of all, we know how important good sleep, good quality sleep is. And it's not just closing your eyes. It's closing your eyes and really being able to have your whole body participate in the act of sleeping, which really changes our brain's mental state and also the entire body from defense systems, including the immune system. We know that when you interfere with sleep, you interfere with the body's defense systems. We know that wounds heal more slowly because angiogenesis doesn't happen as quickly to help defend our tissues. We know that stem cells are impaired if you actually don't get enough sleep. We know that the microbiome, the gut bacteria, is radically disturbed when we don't get sleep. I mean, you ever pull an all-nighter and the next day your stomach feels terrible. That's the microbiome kind of revolting against having to pull an all-nighter. Even DNA can accumulate damage, these epigenetic changes when you don't get enough sleep, and your immune system definitely goes down. Some of the research shows that even one night of not getting enough sleep can cause some pretty significant shifts in your defenses that are difficult to recover from. I mean, ultimately, we all rebalance ourselves, but it can last days. For me, if I miss one night, it takes me, it could take me 3 or 4 days to really feel myself again. So I try to take care of my sleep pattern. Sometimes it can be difficult, but this is where also we know that sometimes, like when you're working at night shift, you completely change your cycle. People who do that actually have to really take extra care to do what they can, including eating a healthy, defense boosting or activating diet to really be able to counter the effects of insomnia or lack of sleep so that we can actually try to get back to normal. It's all a balance, and sleep and food are counterparts to it.
We've been talking with Dr. William Lee, author, by the way, it's spelled L-I, author of Eat to Beat Disease, the New Science of How Your Body Can Heal Itself. Thanks very much, Dr. Lee. And next time, let's get more into angiogenesis and foods that facilitate that. That's all in the book, Eat to Beat Disease, as well as a bunch of wonderful recipes. Eat to Beat Disease by Dr. William Lee. This is 940B of the podcast, the interview one. The B's are always the interview. Remember, our recent interviews have been really just sensational interviews. I always like to bring up the one I actually like the most of the last few, 937B, Lisa Davis, author of Clean Eating, Dirty Sex, and Matt Richto on 938B, An Elegant Defense, The Extraordinary New Science of the Immune System. Both are just exceptional interviews. Dr. William Lee's book is available almost every place. Thanks very much. Thank you. Remember the A segments. A new one is released every Tuesday. The latest medical news of the week and what it means to you. Thanks very much for downloading us. Darren, thanks for great engineering. And especially to our listeners for downloading. Tell us, rate us, and tell your friends about us, especially if you liked us. Thanks again.